You're listening to Radiant Womanhood, the podcast for multi-passionate women who are ready to shake off their limitations, dream big, and live fully. I'm Tabitha Blue, a wife, mom of six, author, life coach, and entrepreneur, and I know firsthand the challenges women can experience when it comes to balancing life's demands, staying true to yourself, and navigating the many curveballs life can throw. And guess what? I'm obsessed with helping you navigate all the crazy seasons of this thing called life with confidence and grace. Join me each week as I delve into topics from habit making to goal setting, career balancing to relationship nurturing, and everything in between, helping you get out of your own way and embody the radiance within. So grab your headphones, shut out the distractions, and get ready to shine. Let's dive in. How much time have you spent? Hours, days, years thinking about the things that you need to do instead of actually doing the thing. Friends, that ends today. We are going to dive into research-backed information today to break free from that trap of procrastination and find out how to actually get stuff done, even on days you don't feel like it. I am so excited for today's episode, and I feel like each ep is my new favorite, but I think it's just because as I'm preparing, I get so thrilled for where these steps will take us, thrilled for the future us as we grow and we learn and we change. And I'm so excited for this one because we've all been there, those days when we just can't seem to get stuff done. So let's get into it. Let's uncover these secrets to breaking through that procrastination barrier and doing the dang thing. So procrastination is a word that carries this negative connotation. But what if I told you that it wasn't a sign of laziness or a lack of motivation? In fact, procrastination can sometimes be a symptom of a deeper issue, like fear of failure, perfectionism, or even overwhelm. And really, we're going to kind of define and show where procrastination comes from in a minute. But the first step in overcoming that is to understand what's really driving it. I used to be a chronic procrastinator. I guess I used to label myself that way. The one that would cram to study overnight and get it done. Or even if you've said this, I know I have, I work better under pressure. Why? Because I wanted to wait till the last minute to make it happen. I was pushing it off. So maybe you've said something like that as well. But really, there are some questions that you should be asking based on research, you guys, when you find yourself procrastinating. When you realize that I'm going to sit down to do this thing, and then when I sit down, my mind isn't there. My mind isn't in it. Maybe you've said this before, because this is something that I've done. And even recently, I'm just kind of in a fog today. My brain isn't there. I don't have the bandwidth for that right now. So when you find yourself procrastinating and saying things like that, when you're looking something in the face that you feel like you should be doing and you're not, ask this: how am I feeling right now? What am I avoiding? What is really stressing me out? What are my procrastination triggers? We all have one. And if you want to stop procrastinating, then you need to go a step further to find the deeper issue that triggers you when you procrastinate. All these things that I'm saying right now, it might feel big. That might feel overwhelming. Telling you, it's the key to changing your future. And that might sound really big, but really think about it. The things that we procrastinate on aren't usually the easy, mindless, simple things that don't move the needle in our business or the things that don't move the needle in our dreams or our goals. We usually procrastinate on the things that are a little bit bigger, the things that take a little bit of effort to get through, to get to make happen. And so when we procrastinate, we're not allowing ourselves to take those steps to create the future we want to see. Isn't that crazy? Does that make sense? So one of my triggers is definitely overwhelm. When I feel like there is more to do than there's time for, you would think that I would buckle down and tackle it one step at a time, quickly and efficiently. Let's go through it. And at least I'd like to think that's how I handle it. But in reality, a lot of times you'll find me vacuuming, mopping floors, or cleaning out a drawer. Cleaning to me is almost like my fallback therapy session. It calms me. So in times that I allow myself to indulge in procrastination instead of actually facing the things that I'm tasked with doing, I'll leave those things for later and settle into the comfort of clean and cleaning. It's a safe space. So when we procrastinate, again, it's not necessarily because we're lazy or because we're unmotivated. It's our mind's way of protecting us from discomfort or uncertainty. But here's the thing, growth happens outside of that comfort zone. So usually for me, when I get into this state of overwhelm, I'll begin to worry or allow the task ahead of me to seem and feel harder than they are. I don't allow myself a clear picture of what the steps ahead should look like. In those times of overwhelm, I'm not visualizing the success one step at a time. Instead, it's like this cloud of anxiousness. Have you ever felt that? Like this cloud around me, that fogginess, right? Literal worry. And I actually looked up what that word means. It means give way to anxiety or unease. Allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. So a lot of times we think worry and we're like, oh, that means biting our fingernails and crying over this big thing that we're thinking is going to happen, like this bad thing that's going to happen. And that could be it. But really, it also just means in our day-to-day life, giving way to anxiety or unease, or allowing our mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. In therapy, there's a term called popping the bubble. What that means is that when you start worrying, when you fixate on something and it starts getting bigger and bigger in your head, when you allow your mind to dwell on something, on difficulty or troubles, that thing in front of you usually starts to get bigger because that's what you're thinking about. Pop the bubble. Literally, just picture yourself for a minute popping a bubble. You guys, it works. It's strange, but it works. So your brain thinks that it's helping or problem solving by fixating or dwelling, but usually it just means it's amplifying the problem. We're amplifying that thing in front of us. What does that do when you amplify? When there's a sound, it could be a little sound, but you amplify it with a microphone. It's bigger, it's larger, it fills the space. That's what our mind does. There might be a project ahead of me that something I need to write or a video I need to record. And in my head, if I am not quite feeling ready or I'm feeling inadequate or I'm letting this anxiety or unease on it, I can allow my mind to dwell on that. And it starts to amplify that thing in front of me where it feels bigger and bigger and bigger instead of just sitting down to start writing. So when you're in this state of procrastination and paralysis, where your brain is in this fog of overwhelm and it's running in circles around the next task, amplifying it or making it look and seem larger than it really is, you guys, pop the bubble. So that's what we're going to do today. We're not going to let procrastination happen. We're not going to procrastinate on this episode any longer. Let's pop the bubble. So first, I want you to stop labeling yourself as a procrastinator. I've done it. I think we've all done it. Maybe you practice the habit or the behavior of procrastinating, but don't take on that label as your identity. It's not you, and especially after today. But it's not a personality trait. It's not an identity. It's a broken pattern of behavior. If it's something that is in your life often, if it's chronic behavior in your life, that means that the stress is chronic, and we need to find a new habit of behavior for you. We're going to define it for a minute. Okay, I just want to say this. There is a difference between procrastination and conscious delay or breaks in your work or time or schedule. And there will be episodes where we talk about being able to say no, needing the break, setting up your boundaries, giving yourself time and space to relax or to dream, to fill your cup, all of those things. That's different. Taking a clear and concise break for creativity and filling your cup is different than procrastinating. Putting off the project, not even starting at all, being overwhelmed by something before you even begin to do the thing. So there's a difference. So I just wanted to put that out there for a minute. There is a difference. There will be times that I challenge and encourage you to take the breaks. But this, friends, is procrastination. Now, micro procrastinations could look like spending all of your mornings or your time scrolling on social media or binging on Netflix. And I'm not talking about the times where you intentionally spend time with someone and you watch episodes of something together. I'm talking about when you feel like I need to disconnect my brain from everything else going around me because all of that is too much and I'm going to put it off. I'm going to blow it off, put aside everything that I need to do because I'm just going to binge this instead. That's procrastination. And at the end of the week, you realize I didn't move the needle forward on any of my goals or my dreams or productive habits. The micro procrastinations are the little things that you didn't realize you were doing, but a lot of times it adds up to a whole lot of wasted time. Usually that looks like scrolling social media and going down the rabbit hole of TikTok videos or whatever it might be. And it can feel like we're doing something productive sometimes, There have been times that I want to look for a recipe and I start going and I'm realizing, okay, I just spent a lot of time going down this thing. Did I come up with any ideas? No. Did I have a spark of creativity? No. I just wasted a whole lot of time. Big delays. And then there is more destructive procrastination, and that can look like active avoidance of something big, like procrastinating on the application that you need to finish for a new job or for nursing school, or the paper that you need to write, or the book that you want to start writing or finish writing, the project that you need to research, or the phone calls that you need to make, where you're actively avoiding it by doing something else mindless in your life because of what the outcome might be. Or a situation in your life where you know this big thing that you need to do. I actually talked about this in our very first episode when I knew that I needed to talk to a doctor and start on the journey of healing my hormones, and I just didn't. I actively avoided, actively procrastinated looking for a doctor, finding answers, any of it, even though symptoms would get worse. Even though, I mean, maybe this is TMI, but even though each month I would have days where I couldn't barely make it out of my bedroom or bathroom without throwing up all day long, but I would still slap a smile on my face, move ahead, but I knew that there was something not right in my body. And yet I would procrastinate. I didn't want to make the phone call. I didn't want to find a doctor that could help me or figure out what was wrong or do the tests. Side note, according to research, one of the biggest things that people procrastinate on is making a medical appointment or scheduling a medical test. So I know that I'm not alone in that. I know that when I talked about that in the first episode, which is called What to Do When You Feel Stuck in Life, it's where I talk about all of that and how to move forward in purpose. So we'll go ahead and link that episode in the show notes. But know that if this is something you're feeling, you're not alone. Maybe for you, it's a calling, this knowing on the inside of you that there's something you need to do. But when you start to get ready to do it or to work on it, you just can't seem to get yourself going. Right now, what I want you to do is take just a moment and think of something in your life that you've been procrastinating on. I don't want you to just listen today. I want you to really hear and engage today. So just for a moment, take a second. You might have already thought about it because a lot of times talking, your mind goes straight to, yep, this thing. But take a moment and think of that thing in your life. What we want to do today is get to the root of it. What causes procrastination? The underlying factor in all of us every time is stress. It might be subconscious stress. It might be a big weight on your mind. It might be financial burdens. It could be a broken relationship, whether in your own life or even someone close to you that's walking through it. It could be unhealed trauma in your own life or from your own past, or the pressure of work and deadlines that are quickly approaching and allowing yourself the feelings of not enoughness to surface because you're finding your worth in the approval of those things in your workplace or those in your workplace. It could be in getting your kid through their last year of school. And it's almost graduation and there's a different test or paper or bill or need every day. I can tell you we are in that season right now and five more coming up behind. And yes, it can be stressful. So, and then whether you're consciously thinking about it or not, you wear that stress. You put it on like this cute little backpack, as Mel Robbins likes to call it, and you wear it. It's just with you. Your body is feeling it. Your mind is feeling it. It might not be right in front of you, right in front of your face, something you're thinking about all the time, but you have this weight on you and you're carrying it. So when it's time to get down to it and make the phone calls or make that appointment or write the paper or write the chapter for your book or send those pitches, apply for schools, create the art, your mind is like, wait a second, I'm not ready for this. I've already got all this stuff in my mind. This is one more thing. I need a second. I need a minute. I need a day. So we scroll social media, we watch another video, and then another one. We start checking emails and we end up doing mindless work, like cleaning, because our mind is triggering us to respond as not ready for the thing we need to be doing. We freeze. We paralyze ourselves in that mindless work. Before we know it, time has passed. It's the afternoon and we feel like, oh, I didn't really get anything done today, anything important. It's been another day that I didn't get any more written. Another day that I didn't put that pitch email together. Another day that I didn't make those calls or didn't book the lesson or the class or send in the application. Phew. Why? Because we froze. In life, our natural response to stress is what? We hear it all the time. Fight, flight, or freeze. A lot of times we hear about it and we talk about it as this fight or flight response, but the big one in that, the other response is freeze. That is procrastination. We aren't sure where our next paycheck is coming from, or we get a bill in the mail. Something in the house breaks and it triggers that stress response. Our brain goes into the survival mode to protect us and we freeze. Something happens and we feel those feelings of overwhelm. So we blow off filming the video that day because it feels too big. Or we put off writing the emails that day because it feels too hard. We decide to wait on the appointment or the application or the lesson because we say there isn't time. And this ends up being a cycle. We hit pause, we freeze. In our head, we make ourselves feel better by saying, it's just a little pause. It's just a little break. I just need a break. We hit pause on those things to feel a little bit better and keep us in a place of feeling comfortable instead of doing something hard to actually ease some of the stress. And yet it causes us to feel more behind. Now, comfortable doesn't mean that we like it. Here's a couple definitions. Looked right up in the dictionary. A couple definitions of the word comfortable means not in pain. It doesn't even necessarily mean something good. It just means not in pain or free from stress or fear. So seeking comfort or being comfortable doesn't mean that you're in a position that you like to be in or that you want to be in. It means that you're avoiding more hard, the thing that seems to trigger stress. Even though we already have like this baseline of stress, usually that hard thing is just the trigger on top that causes us to freeze. It's like we want to avoid this next hard thing and it feels more comfortable. Let me just keep scrolling. Let me just take some time and watch this. Let me just stay mindless for a minute because that in this moment is more comfortable. In this moment, it's the easier choice. And yet we end up putting the thing off, which causes us to feel more behind, which continues this vicious cycle of stress and procrastination and stress and procrastination. As an entrepreneur and a mom of six, my mornings start quick and early. But I've learned that what I consume in the morning really sets the tone for my day. And yes, I am talking about saving the scrolling for later in the day, but I'm also talking about a healthy morning latte for heightened focus and smooth, long-lasting energy. It can seem overwhelming with endless options when it comes to choosing your daily bevs. So why not fuel your mind while you fuel your body, while you skip the jitters and afternoon crash? I've been using Clever Superfood Latte blends this past year as I made adjustments to focus on my health, and I am not turning back. Each Clever blend contains 3 powerful adaptogens, 500 million heat-safe probiotics, and healthy superfoods wrapped up in a decadent oat milk latte. Just add water, froth, and voila! A couple of my faves are the mocha and chai, but there are many delicious ones to choose from. So go to cleverblends.com and use my code FRESHMOMMY15 for a discount just for you. That's CLEVERBLENDS.com and code FRESHMOMMY15. So in the book, The 5-Second Rule, there are a couple steps for when you catch yourself procrastinating. And so it might sound a little strange for a minute, but we are going to dive into it. There's a doctor mentioned in the book that studied procrastination for years. Can you imagine studying something for years, you guys? Found that people that forgive themselves for procrastinating are less likely to do it again. So with his students, he was a doctor and his students, he noted that those that forgave themselves for procrastination on studying for the test were less likely to procrastinate the next time. Isn't that crazy? So step one is when you catch yourself procrastinating, just actively forgive yourself. Like, okay, this is just a fight, flight, or freeze response. And I took the freeze response. So I'm going to give myself a little bit of grace and make a change. Here's the thing. We don't procrastinate because we're lazy or because we can't do something. A lot of times, those of us that procrastinate are usually naturally hard on ourselves, which is why the things in front of us feel like big things, because we can tend to put so much pressure on it, on the outcome. But noticing that we are doing it, procrastinating, And then releasing ourselves from the guilt of it is the first step. And then step two is to ask yourself, what am I really stressed about? Usually the little thing, which a lot of times feels like a big thing, that triggered the stress response is only that final little thing that set off the response because of the buildup to it. If that makes sense. Have you ever had a moment where it was just such a little thing that happens, but all of a sudden, all of that pent up stress is released? I'm sure Chris loves this, but I know that in my life, I've threatened to quit many times. Work, business, our own business, entrepreneurship. Like, no, I can't. Have you ever said that? I can't. I just can't. Yeah. That's a freeze. An email will pop up in a moment where I should not even be checking emails. That right there. But I can remember a day where I can say it's happened more than once, but a day where we felt rushed, felt late in getting the kids ready for school. There was a mess in the house. My phone was dinging over and over and over. Hello, not putting it on silent, which side note to say, it usually is always on vibrate or on silent now. And I don't even usually pull it out in the morning. But let's just leave that for another episode, another day. But I had already had a long list for the day. 6 kids in the house. Everyone's getting ready for school. Kids are feeling stressed because, oh, I forgot to print this. I forgot to do that. What about my breakfast? I can't find my shoes. All of this thing. And then I checked my email anyway, and there was a request for something that was due that day. I lost it. I cried. I yelled that my kids couldn't find their shoes. I started aggressively cleaning the kitchen, and I huffed and puffed and avoided all actual work, even though I was falling further and further behind at this point. Until Chris asked me, what is really going on? And for me, it wasn't the email, or it wasn't the lost shoe. Those are little things, right? And I can feel like, okay, crazy lady, you're freaking out because there's a shoe that's not found at the moment or because an email came in. But I realized when really looking at it that it was my own feelings of inadequacy, that the house was in a certain way and we were running late more often lately and I couldn't keep all of these balls in the air at the same time, which in my mind meant, I'm not good enough. I'm not doing enough. I wasn't being a good enough mom because I had more work. And then I also wasn't a good enough entrepreneur because I wasn't keeping things all perfectly floating in the air at home and all of these deadlines organized and all of this. So that one email, a little request, became the trigger. And I kind of feel like I did all of it. Fight, flight, and freeze. But definitely the freeze or the procrastination happened with the work that I needed to do that day. And I just felt like, I can't. I'm just done. I need to give up. I can't do this. Because the freedom comes in learning to recognize it. And that it could feel big like that. I can't. I just can't do it. I'm not creative. I'm not thinking, like, my brain isn't in the creative mode right now. And so I can't write or create this art or write this song. Or it could be little things. But the freedom comes in learning to recognize it. Recognize, like, I'm freezing right now. I'm procrastinating. So I'm going to give myself grace and also ask the question, what is really causing the stress? I'm really stressed about, insert your reason here, whatever that is. I'm really stressed about the test results we're waiting on. I'm actually stressed about the bills and how we're going to make it all work. I'm stressed about school and grades and doing enough. I'm stressed about my health, the weight I've put on, no matter what it is I seem to do. When we bring the reason or the cause of the stress into light, it begins to loosen its grip on us. Think back to that backpack analogy. The stress that we carry around like this little accessory is not always something that we're thinking about front and center. I can tell you that in that moment, getting my kids ready for school and the lost shoe and all of the things, I wasn't thinking, I'm a bad mom, I'm an inadequate mom. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, we're late again. Why can't you guys find this? Why didn't we do this last night? I have all this work to do today and now the house is a mess, blah, 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 blah. But the weight of it's there. So when we bring that out in the front of us and we take the grip or the weight that had off of us, we're able to see it clearly and it loosens its hold. We begin to bring these like dark things into light and they don't seem as scary or big. We're able to talk about it and begin to release it. And guys, that is what is at the root cause of the procrastination. And when we are able to identify that, let's talk about how to pop that bubble and get moving. How to get stuff done on days that you don't even feel it. Now we get to ask, what would the future me want me to do right now? What would the me that has already overcome this want me to do? What does that look like? The me that made the appointments and has some answers, or the me that wrote the book, the me that finished the applications. No matter the outcome, I filled out all of the applications. The me that completed those school courses, what would that me want me to do right now? The answer is do the thing, even if it feels hard. This quote hit me, and this is from Mel Robbins. Your brain is wired to stop you from doing things that are uncomfortable or uncertain or scary. Let's think about that comfortable meaning again for just a minute, right? Your brain is wired to stop you from doing things that are uncomfortable or uncertain or scary. You have a 5-second window in which you can move from idea to action before your brain kicks into full gear and sabotages any change of behavior. So, how do we get stuff done on days that we don't feel like it? How do we overcome procrastination? I mean, first realize that you've been doing it and talk to yourself, okay, what am I really stressed about? Because it's probably not this thing. I'm just building this thing up in my head because I'm already stressed about something. What am I stressed about? Let's bring that into light. Let's uncover that for a second. And then what would the me that already overcame all this stuff want me to do right now? Let's get started, right? So rules for overcoming procrastination, the 5-second rule. I want you to use the 5-second rule. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Let's get started. Let's do it. I want you to go from that 5-second rule right into the 5-minute rule. So if you remember something today, remember this. 5-second, 5-minute. Don't give yourself, your brain, time to kick into gear and talk you out of doing the thing. And also set a timer for 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Set a timer for 5 minutes. Then use the 5-second rule. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go and get started. The hardest part of a task is getting started. Usually we like to think in terms of motivation first and then action. What it looks like is a little bit of action, which leads to motivation. And that in turn brings more action. So try this. Again, set your timer for 5 minutes. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Work on the task that you've put off. 5 minutes. That's it. You can do hard things for 5 minutes. After 5 minutes, you can stop. Absolutely stop if you want. 90% of the time, the momentum from the action of starting is enough to keep you going. That's research. Isn't that crazy? The hardest part is starting. So count it down, give yourself a go, give yourself an out as well with a 5-minute timer and do that thing for 5 minutes. Procrastination is a habit that we've built. It's a cycle that keeps you trapped. It's not that you can't do the thing. It's that you've been trapped in the cycle of response, how you respond. You've programmed yourself to respond in certain ways to stay comfortable, not in a place that you like necessarily, but in a place that doesn't feel painful for the moment. But when you realize this, when you admit those procrastination or freeze triggers, when you forgive yourself for taking that road in the past and then look deeper to see, okay, what is the stress buildup? What is this from? You're more able to climb out of it. And then you take the action. You take small, intentional action, even when you don't have the motivation. You count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 and take off, setting that timer for just 5 minutes. You can do hard things for 5 minutes. And again, research backs this. Usually when you're in it, you realize it isn't so hard. We built it up in our heads. And doing the thing is actually easier than the fear that we had about doing it. As we begin the action, motivation follows, bringing more action. You make the first phone call and the second one isn't so hard. You write one sentence and the next one comes easier. And if it didn't, you can stop after 5 minutes and do it again later. Remember that progress, no matter how small, is still progress. Forward motion, even if it seems small, is still forward motion. You get to choose to act like you believe in yourself, in the outcome of the future you, before you believe it. That countdown to action, the timer set for action, is to spur you to action even before you fully believe that you're capable of that thing. Or that action, or overcoming the stress that was holding you back. But what's so cool about that is taking the action is actually what spurs you to believe in yourself and in the outcome. You start doing this over and over and over, you start seeing results. As you start seeing results, you start believing in yourself and you start believing that, yeah, the future me that wanted me to take action is attainable. It's here. So in this episode today, I want you to remember that procrastination doesn't define you. It's not a label. It's not who you are. It's a stress response. It's a temporary thing, a cycle that wants to trap you. But it can be broken. But you can't wait for motivation to spur you. You can't wish procrastination to go away or wait for it to wear off. You get to choose to take action today and see the result. You get to take action today to break free from the cycle. And I know that you can do it. So don't procrastinate. Don't procrastinate in sharing this episode. Can you imagine what it would look like if you were able to break free from the cycle of procrastination? But not only you, your circle of friends too. The people in your life that you think, oh, if they would just write that music. Oh, if they would just get those applications in. Oh, if they would just do the thing. Send this episode to them. Let's expand our circle. Let's lift each other up. Let's break free together. Let's spur each other into action together. Let's end the cycle of staying in these comfortable areas of stress together. Let's do the thing. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of Radiant Womanhood. If you want more, head on over to radiantwomanhood.com for show notes. And if you enjoyed this episode, I'd be so grateful if you could take a few moments to rate and review the show. Don't forget to hit the follow button to stay updated on our latest episodes. Friend, I love hearing from you. So shoot me a DM at Instagram at Radiant Womanhood or at Tabitha Blue to carry on the conversation. And if you believe the remarkable women in your life could benefit from this episode, share the link with them to spread the love. Until next time, friend, keep shining.